Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Joe McGee. We are talking about the heroes of faith. You know, one of the great lessons you've learned just going through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, reading one story after another. You don't have to read them in order. But all these stories do the one thing God wanted them to do. It's build our faith. The Bible says, without faith, you don't please God. Without faith, you don't whip the devil. So I got to thinking, you know, especially when I went to Bible school, we got to go back to the beginning, you know, kind of lay it out theologically in order. And so it was the father of our faith, Abraham, that started all this thing. And so Abraham's an amazing story, incredible story. The first guy that believed God, and God had a problem. He needed to send his son to earth. Adam even sinned. They got fired from their job, evicted from the house. Kids started killing each other. And so he needed to send his son to earth, but he had a problem. A human lost everything. Adam and Eve were human. God had put him in charge of the earth, name everything, take dominion, subdue. Well, when Adam and Eve sinned, sin's got death attached to it. They got fired, evicted from the house, kids started killing each other. And Satan at that point, because he'd already been fired out of heaven, Satan became the temporary legal god of this planet. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan is the temporary legal god of this planet. John 10:10 says he steals, he kills, and he destroys. And so what happened was God said, listen, Adam lost it, but I got to get it back. I got to come to earth, but I can't come to earth until I can find a man on earth willing to give me his son. Because God doesn't cheat. God moves by his own rules and standards. So God needed a covenant. What's a covenant? Well, you know, the Old Testament, there are all kinds of covenants, and they're fascinating. You know, I promise I'm going to give you all my stuff. You're going to promise to give me all your stuff. If you ever need anything, just come in the garage and get it. Find anything, I'll come in your garage and get it. We don't have to ask permission. We have a covenant with one another. That's what marriage is. Marriage is a covenant. You're promising before God and witnesses that you're going to give your life to this individual. For the rest, we say it in the wedding ceremony, until death us do part. You know, and rich or poor, better, best, good, worst, whatever it is, I'm with you. I'm going to be your life partner. And so God had a situation. He needs to come to earth, but he's got to find a man on earth that will give him his son so that through him, God can give his son. And so he's looking around. So he finds this guy, old guy. he couldn't have kids when he could have kids. He can't have them now because he's too old. So we got Abraham and Sarah, or Abram before he was Abraham, and Sarai, which actually means contentious woman, before God renamed her to Sarah. So you kind of pick this story up in Genesis chapter 11. It's a great, great story. So here's what it says. The people who moved away from Babel, you know, the Tower of Babel, when God had to confuse their languages, he scattered them to the four corners of the earth. The people of Babel forgot God, became more sinful. They prayed not to God, but they prayed to whatever they made. They just worshiped anything, idols, stone, wood. Many worshiped things that God had made. They worshiped the sun, they worshiped the moon, they worshiped the stars. Later, they even worshiped rivers and mountains and hills. They gave them names. They made images out of wood and stone. They call these images gods, and they bowed down and they prayed to them. Now, near Babel, another city was being built called Ur, Ur the Chaldees. Now, the people who lived there were known as the Chaldeans. They worshipped the moon god, Ur. That's where they got their name. They named their city in honor of their moon god. On the plains of Ur lived old Terah, a shepherd, a farmer. He had 3 grown sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. They worked for their father. Haran died while he was still young and left a son named Lot. Abram did not worship the moon god, but he believed in the true God. Now, that's a fascinating story all in itself. In the midst of all these messed up people, there's one young son of this man who said, I'm not worshiping that moon god. There's only one God. Well, about this time, the family left Ur. Terah took Abram and his wife, Nahor and his family, Lot, and everything they owned, their tents, their large flocks, their sheep, their cattle. Day after day, they journeyed up the great river Euphrates until they came to a place called Haran. Now, that's where they settled. Well, time passed. Old Terah, he died. One day, Abram heard God calling him. Now, this is the first time you hear somebody actually hearing the voice of God. This guy, Abram, heard God calling him. God said, leave this country. Leave your relatives. Leave your father's house and go to a land that I will show you. And I will bless you. And I'll make you a great blessing. And through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, this isn't a small thing. This is huge. Through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, leaving his brother Nahor and his family at Haran, Abram started out. He took his wife Sarai, his new nephew Lot, took their servants and driving their flocks and herds before them. They turned away from the great river and they journeyed southwest toward the land of Canaan. On the one side of the mountains rose wild things high, man, it was incredible land. On the other side was a barren desert, stretched as far as they could see. Well, on and on they traveled, across rivers, through valleys, over hills, each day farther from the homeland and nearer to the land that God had promised. When they reached the plain of Arc, God spoke again to Abram. This is the land that I will give you and your children. Abram built an altar there, and he worshiped God. Now, you got to understand something. Most history books, this was really rare. This is one of the few people on the planet still honoring and worshiping God. Now, the land was called Canaan, and the people there were known as Canaanites. Abram did not live in cities, but he pitched his tents wherever he could find good pasture for his cattle and sheep. So his flocks, his herds grew larger and larger, and old Abram became rich. He's just a hard-working just farmer. He just became rich. So later there was a famine in the land. The grass and the water dried up. Well, nowhere could Abram find pasture, so he moved to Egypt. When the famine was over, he returned to Canaan. So in Genesis 13, Abram comes back up from Egypt. He and Lot moved to Bethel, where they had first pitched their tents in Canaan. Here, Abram had built an altar to worship God. Now, he sacrificed another offering and again talked to God. Abram became a very rich. Now, he's already rich, but now he's very rich. I mean, you know, like we used to say in the modern time, filthy, stinking rich. He's rich, rich. Not only did he have many servants and flocks and herds, but he also had much silver and gold. Well, his nephew Lot owned many servants, sheep and cattle, because he'd been blessed hanging around his uncle. So whenever these men and their servants pitched their tents, the place looked like a tent town. The country all around them was dotted with cattle and sheep. Well, later on, trouble rose up between the servants of Abram and the servants of Lot. The servants who cared for the flocks, they quarreled and they fought. Abram's servants wanted the best pasture land for Abram's flocks. Lot's servants, they wanted the best land for their master's cattle. And so the trouble just grew worse and worse. Well, when Abram heard about the quarrel, he looked out over the countryside and he saw how hard it must be for the servants. How could they find places nearby where there's tender grass and plenty of water? Abram saw, too, that nearby villages of the Canaanites, there was not enough room for all of them to live peaceably in one place. So Abram brought Lot together with him. He said, listen, let's don't fight. No more quarreling between us or between our servants. There's not enough room for both of us to live together in one place. We have too many sheep, got too many cattle. We've got to do something. So the whole land lays before us. Let's separate. If you choose the west country, Lot, I will go to the east. If you want the east country, I'll go to the west. Now, this is the father of our faith. He's already preferring his nephew. He should have taken the lead, but no, he said, listen, I'm trusting God. You take the first choice. You think this is better? Take that, and I'll take whatever's left over. So Abram and Lot could see so far to the east and west because God had promised Abram all this land. Abram could have chosen the better part. He could have sent Lot off in the service. Instead, he offered Lot the first choice. Man, doesn't sound like a God thing. I set before you life, death, blessing, cursing, you choose. Lot, forgetting the kindness of his uncle, chose the east country where the Jordan River flowed. I can always find plenty of grass and water there, he reasoned. My flocks and herds will increase, and soon I will be very, very rich. So, afterwards, God told Abram, lift up your eyes, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, all the land you can see, I'm going to give it to you and your children and your children's children. As yet, Abram and Sarah could have no children. But Abram believed God. God had told Abram to journey through the land and see how large it was. So Abram came to a plain called Mamre, and he pitched his tents under some oak trees near the city of Hebron and built another altar to worship God. Wherever Abram stopped, he built an altar. Wherever he went, he built an altar. Wherever he planted a sheep crop, he built an altar. God was on his mind priority-wise. Well, in Genesis 14, Lot chose the fertile plains of the Jordan. He thought he was making a wise choice. Well, he saw in the large city of Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, back then, this was a big deal. Now, we hear the tail end of it, but on the forefront of it, down there where the water was, these big cities are booming. He knew he could make much silver and gold by selling his sheep and cattle to the people living in those cities. They got to have meat. So Lot moved towards Sodom. Later, he pitched his tents near the city walls, and finally, Lot just moved his family inside. Bad mistake. Now, Sodom was not a place for good people to live. People in that city cared nothing about God. Some were very rich, but they're also very wicked. And Lot thought them rich and clever. He thought, man, they're rich and smart. I'm rich and smart. I'll hang with them. Well, one day trouble came to Sodom. There had been a war, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and three other cities had gone out to battle, and they were defeated. The conquering soldiers entered Sodom and Gomorrah, and crowded through the streets, pushed their way into the rich men's houses, took everything that they could carry away. They even captured people for slaves. Lot and his wife and his children were taken with the others. One captive escaped, fled across the country to find Abram. He told him about the battle and what had happened to Lot. When Abram heard this, he took a few friends, 380 men servants, to go after the captive. He just, hey guys, we need some volunteers. We're going to form the first volunteer army in the Bible. Well, after a long, hard march, they came upon the enemy's camp, a place called Dan. It was nighttime. Everybody had already gone to sleep. Abram's men rushed down upon them at nighttime and frightened them. The enemy thought a great army had come to fight, and they were not prepared to battle. So they woke up in the middle of the night. They ran away. They left their tents, their goods. They left everything, their weapons. So they just took off running. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, came out to meet Abram and gave him food. He's got all his family members. He's got Lot. He's captured him back. He's captured all the stuff from the enemy. He's coming back home with all of his 300-something men. And so this guy named Melchizedek, king of Salem, came out to meet him and gave him food. Now, Melchizedek loved and worshiped the true God. He was a priest of God. He thanked God for giving Abram such a great victory and asked God to bless Abram. So this priest comes out, meets Abram, a man of God, and blesses him. You know, like kind draws like kind. So Melchizedek was a priest of the true God. Abram gave him a tenth of all the goods that he had taken from the enemy's camp. First thing you read about tithing, where'd it come from? Well, Abram gave it to Melchizedek, the man of God. Now the people of Canaan honored Abram for his courage, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him. They offered Abram all the gold and silver and food and clothing that they could take from the enemy's camp. He only asked the people that they be returned to Sodom. Abram would not accept any reward because God had promised. God said, don't keep anything for yourself. So all the people and the things that they owned were returned. In other words, he's captured. He didn't want to go fight. He didn't want to go to war. He didn't want their stuff, but he's taking stuff because they killed all these guys. Well, now he returns it. So now Lot and his wife and his children went back to live in the wicked city of Sodom, but Abram returned to his quiet tent home under the oak trees of Hebron. Now, you know, they've made movies about this. It's an incredible story. What is this? Well, this is an old guy who loves God and fears God, worships him on a regular basis. He's filthy, stinking rich because God promised he'd bless his servants and his people, and Abram believes that. So he's always building an altar. He's always sacrificing. He's always worshiping. He's always thanking. The Bible says God inhabits praise, so Abram's given a great place to camp out. In the middle of all this, his nephew, you know, they're giving him half all the stuff. He's learned from Abraham how to have sheep, cattle, run a business. So his nephew becomes rich also. And so one thing, well, let's realize there's not enough for us. We got too many sheep, too much cattle. There's not room for both of us. So the older guy, Abram, brings his nephew in. Hey, son, look around. You want to go west? I'll give you all the land of the west. You want to go east? I'll give you all the land of the east. You choose. That's what Christians do. I mean, we're told in the New Testament. Jesus said, if somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go 2. If somebody asks you for your shirt, give them your coat. Always do more than people ask. godly people to do more than that. What you're doing? What are you sowing seed? So Abraham says, listen, I got all this from God anyhow. You can't tap me out. I can give you. I'll be a blessing to you. I'll give more. And that's what he did. So all of a sudden, we're setting up for a great thing about to happen. Lot over there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and that is one nasty city. And we're about to find out just how nasty it is. And so his family gets caught up in it. Well, Abram's over here out there in the pasture limb of that tree. Now, he's still filthy, sticking rich, getting richer every day. God still blessed him, but he hears word. He hears something going on. There's something wrong. Your nephew's in trouble. So some angels come to visit, and we're going to pick that story up next time. The angels come to let Abram know what's about to happen because God said, shall I do this without letting my servant Abram know? God always talks to his people. The Bible says, we're his sheep, he's our shepherd. We're going to follow where he leads. God doesn't do anything without consulting with us. God loves his people. He'll tell us, my sheep hear my voice, the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. So guys, I'm telling you, Christianity is not just a religion. It's a relationship with God Almighty who made the universe, holds it together every day. And he loves us and he wants to bless us. So give that some thought today. Be blessed. Talk to you next time. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.